like to ask a quick survey question. Does anybody feel more prepared today to lead a soul to Christ than they did before we started this class? That hurts.
Honest.
Okay. Well, you know, the whole idea of this class is the Soul Winner Training Guide, is that we are better prepared to present the gospel to people. I think most in this room probably know what the Bible teaches about salvation, at least on a level rudimentary enough that you yourself are saved, if you are saved. We need a practical means by which to present the gospel. And like we were talking earlier, sometimes that's cold calling people. A lot of times we're witnessing right where we live to people that we love, friends and family, co-workers. Sometimes it's complete strangers. You know, the Lord will move on our heart to just talk to somebody. And we have to be sensitive to when that is. But there is a practical side to talking to people. And I think, like Pastor was talking this morning, and he was giving me his thoughts, and I appreciate that. I think we're going to, this next week, we'll start working on putting something together for you to have in hand. I think that would provide you with more confidence and comfort if you have something there that you can just go to as a reference with Scripture. And maybe we can even, I thought about asking Brother John, kind of putting him on the spot, but maybe we can do a little skit up here. And I'll play, as the pastor put it, devil's advocate. And we can go toe-to-toe. And, you know, sometimes just, you know, a little bit of forethought before you approach somebody can go a long way. And just getting past the intimidation and the nervousness. If you walk up to somebody and they're cutting their lawn, I've actually had this happen, and you stop what they're doing, they feel very inconvenienced and somewhat irritated, but and then they feel a sense of obligation to entertain you just out of common courtesy and good manners. Not so much all the time, but, you know, that's, but it's important enough that we do that. So I really would like to get this class into more of a practical teaching. When we've went over a lot of material, a lot of, and we have all the steps of salvation here in this main, in this book, but we need to start, as they say, putting it where the rubber meets the road, and making it more applicable and practical to us actually soul winning. And it doesn't do any good to just sit and learn, accumulate a bunch of knowledge, but not do anything with it. That was very, one of the things I sat in that bushcraft, and as I watched that Brother James Gibson do all the things and teach us all the things, and I was sitting there talking with one of the young fellas there, and I was like, you know, if all he did was teach a bunch of stuff that he never did, I wouldn't listen to him. But you can tell that guy, that is his lifestyle. He knows what he's talking about. Therefore, I'm listening to him because he has credibility. Mm-hmm. So, let's get into today's lesson, but just be prepared. We may get a little bit more personal and interactive in this class and practicing. We may group up and just have you guys do some practice runs with each other in just different situations. And I definitely would appreciate any kind of suggestions and things that you actually deal with. And maybe we can get up here and just work through that. Just getting up here in front of y'all is a little bit nerve-wracking. And feeling that pressure, you know, getting up in front of people can kind of help you overcome some of that. So we were talking last week about the Seventh-day Adventist. They're very, very big on Old Testament law. They believe in a salvation through works, of the keeping of the law, the Sabbath, and so on and so forth. And we kind of ended there about they deny a literal burning hell and investigative judgment. That's the whole concept that in 1844 that Christ began to investigate the actions of men to see if he's keeping the law. We know this to be false. Christ didn't have to investigate anything. He knows all. He sees all. So that almost paints the picture that Christ is not involved in his creation, and we know that not to be true. And then the salvation through works, that's just the keeping of the Old Testament laws, including the dietary laws. So moving on to Jehovah's Witness. Who in here has ever had a Jehovah's Witness come to your door? Yeah. They are relentless. But that, you know why they do that? Does anybody know why they are so huge on that? Yes. So they believe only 144,000 people are actually going to go to heaven from all creation, from the time of the, actually 33 AD, the time of Christ's ascension. So if only 144,000 people from the time of Christ are going to go to heaven, I'm out. Why even bother? The odds are not good. And if you ask them, every one of them says they're one of the 144,000, which is interesting. So, again, the Jehovah's Witness teach this total annihilation doctrine. So this is the belief that when a person dies without being one of Jehovah's Witnesses, they pass into oblivion. They believe that there is no punishment or afterlife for those who have rejected the truth that they teach. So we'll go to Mark 9:44-48. Brother Ryan, would you take that? And Revelation 14:10-11. Sister Nancy, would you take that for us? And Revelation 20:10. I'll read that one. Brother Ryan, go ahead when you get there.
And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched.
The same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest day nor night, to worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name.
And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Again, we're dealing with this concept or this false belief that there is no hell. That is a teaching of the Jehovah's Witness. Clearly, the Bible teaches of a literal burning hell. We know that God can't be just if he only rewards good and doesn't punish evil. That would not be just, and therefore God would not be perfect or holy. So now we're getting into dealing with the deity of God. or the holiness of God. So, you know, again, we're dealing with this whole concept of, well, I don't want to deal with the I don't want to deal with being held accountable. Okay, we see this prevalent in our culture, in our society, more and more and more. There's no punishment of wrongdoing. There's only passivity and, you know, rewarding evil for, or rewarding, you know, evil doing. The Bible says in the end, in the last days, they'll call good evil and evil good. And we see that. I mean, it's clear as day. Again, the whole idea of total annihilation and, you know, so these two doctrines have to go kind of hand in glove. If you don't have a hell, then what happens? Everybody doesn't go to heaven. Well, we got to come up with something to get rid of them, right? Yes, brother.
If anybody who ever has the opportunity to deal with the Jehovah's Witness, just know that they study and they spend a lot of time, and they'll run circles around most of us in our theology. And they would never say that they deny hell. They believe it's the grave, 6 foot under. Mm,
yeah.
So everything's changed. And what they'll do is they'll make you think you're in a false cult or religion because you believe in organized religion. They don't call what they do as organized religion, but truly it is. They also don't believe they're part of the 144,000. They believe all those who are already fulfilled. They believe they go into soul sleep once they die, and they'll be resurrected at the coming of Jehovah. So while they do reject the coming of Christ, they reject Christ as deity. They don't believe in the triune nature of God, just Jehovah. They do believe Jehovah's coming again, and that they will be resurrected at that day to clean up the earth and then rule and reign with Jehovah. So again, if you ever get a chance to deal with the Jehovah's Witness, I'm telling you, unless you know what you're talking about, they're going to put you on a stick and have you for dinner.
Well, their whole thing with the deity of Christ,
yeah.
They believe Christ was a created being.
Right.
That he was not part of the triune nature of God. So, you know, in essence, Christ is not God, the creation of God. And I think it's in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. They believe that Word is the Archangel Michael. I don't know how you make that leap, that the Archangel Michael was the Word. Clearly, we know angels were messengers. Just reading into some of this, you really see where they attack the deity of Christ.
Yeah. And some, actually, they have a New World Translation, so they changed John 1 around a little bit.
Yeah.
And so it actually says in there that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was a God.
A God.
A lot of them do believe that the Word is would be a reference to potentially Jesus. But they change it all around. And that's the problem when you deal with Jehovah's Witnesses. They do gymnastics in the definitions. And unless you're in tune with that, of all of them, they are probably the most hard to pin down. And if anybody ever gets involved in them, let me know. I have all their books. I have their reasoning with scriptures. They memorize the answers. They have all that. But I've dealt with them quite extensively because they're close to here and they've been enacted. And I've had some amazing times with them. I've never seen one get saved, but I've seen a number of them leave mad because they're back in the corner. But the point is that they are very well taught, and it's they're not, don't be afraid of it, but just know that it's going to be a challenge.
They would say governed by council that forms doctrine. Doctrine is not open to private, it's not the Holy Spirit that leads and guides you in all truth. It's that council, and what they say goes. And it's amazing when you start reading into what this council does, they change things quite often to fit their narrative. So that's when I was reading that, and when you said that, that's kind of why they're hard to pin down, because they'll... When they get challenged on something, well, they'll go back and, you know, flip the script, so to speak, so that, you know, now they can come back and make that argument, make that fit.
Yeah. I have their books, and they've been around us so many times. that they have answers to everything you're going to throw at them. And they memorize the answers, and they twist scripture. And like you said, it's kind of a Catholic mentality of the Pope, in a sense, the bishops. They determine they can talk to God, you can't.
Right.
And you just listen.
Yep.
And not only that, once you get deep into that religion, you actually will them and commit to them all your belongings. Mm-hmm. And so they basically own your life. And you can get to the place there where, I mean, basically they own your house, they own all these things. And so to go against them would be to go against everything you are. It's really strange.
Well, they even refer to their members, if you will, as slaves. In reading some of their records of their council, that their governing body,
wow.
they actually refer to their members as slaves. Well, that's not scriptural at all.
No.
Yeah, I'm been set free. I'm not under bondage. Yes, but
when I first started pastoring here, we met a lady on soul winning, Janet Miller, who was 27 years Jehovah's Witness, and never really committed, never got baptized, all that, joined in, but always was a student of scripture under them. And she started coming to our church and was questioning a lot of stuff. So we've been able to sit down with her, and she is still to this day very, very careful of any other religion. When her son died, she called on me to actually do the funeral. I mean, she's impressed by how our church seems to be interested. It's not just religion, it's the Word of God, proven all things by it. She really loves that about our church. Mm-hmm. But even with that, she is so affected by what was done to her in the mental abuse of their religion that she doesn't trust anybody on that end.
Yeah.
But she is a wealth, I'm telling you, a wealth of info about what happens in that whole thing.
It's a call,
yeah.
For sure. It is definitely a call. Yeah, but.
Well, I was just going to say, years ago, my brother, when we lived in the same area together, he had his own apartment, but the JWs caught him someplace downtown or something, started talking to him, and then they wanted to go over to his house and have Bible studies. Mm. And he told me about it. I knew that was starting to happen, and I told him, I said, Dave, you shouldn't do it. Don't do it. Mm. And he said, well, they just keep coming over and all that. So one day I went over there, and he said they were going to come over.
Mm.
And I just told him flat out. I mean, this, some people might not agree with this, but in Christian love, I said to them, listen, I said, you're not going to have any more Bible studies with my brother. He's weak. He won't tell you no, but I'm telling you no for him.
Amen.
I said, I'm telling you nicely now, as nice as I possibly can, but if you ever approach him again, come to his house, or talk to him about your doctrines, I will hurt you badly. And I said, do you understand me? And they said, oh, yeah, we do. I said, thank you very much. Goodbye. And they turned around and left. And I said to David, if you ever invite them over again or have them over and talk to them about their doctrine, I will hurt you badly. I told him that. I said, David, that's out of the pit of hell. And I said, I'm not going to lose you to that cult. And that was the end of it.
Well, there's no confusion about where Brother John stands on this subject. Be deceived. When I was reading some of this stuff, not for a second that I was tempted, but I try to carefully look at this from another person, from someone else's point of view. What would attract me to this? What's that, brother? I mean, problem for me is I sit there and I look at that. There's some very clear doctrines of Scripture that are violated. And you can't just toss that aside. You need to answer. You need to explain to me why you have the right to tell me what I can believe. Because that violates the principal teaching of the scripture, that the Holy Spirit will lead us in all truth. That every man is every saved man is a high priest of his home. You know, when you're usurping authority in my home, that violates scripture. Yeah, brother.
Their most proselytized religion is Baptist.
Really? Yes. I did not know that.
Because most Baptist churches do not have, they don't teach doctrine and preach doctrine like we do. They don't teach that every answer is there. How to search the scriptures, that they're not definitive.
Right.
And so you get these people who come in and make a profession of faith. Their lives are a mess. They never have answers. Their pastor can't help them. Nobody can help them. It's a bunch of back and forth bickering, pony shows going on. And then the Jehovah's Witnesses come, just like Kyle said. They have answers.
Right.
They're sucked in. Baptists are their number one prey.
Mm. Yeah. Well, you take just the pastor guy or anyone here.
If we come to the point on scripture and we have a disagreement, who's right? God's right. Not him. Not me. Now, he may be on the right side of that answer, but he ain't right. Scripture's right. Let God be true and every man a liar. It's not a point of contention or pride on my part or your part. It's God. Because we're all under the same God. And he's the standard by which everything is illuminated in truth. Somebody just had their hand up. Oh, sister.
My experience with Jehovah's Witnesses that I've dealt with comes, you know, my daughter, like, over at my dad's and stuff, they came the most over at my dad's for some reason, but they didn't necessarily, like, I tried to get them to talk to me about what they believed in, and they totally avoided it, and did not want to talk about it. It was just like they only wanted to be there as their work, as, you know, their little checklist, I got this house kind of thing. And it seemed like they did not care about, you know, my soul. It was more like they had to be there to give me their papers, and that was it. And, you know,
accomplish their agenda.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are we here to manipulate anyone?
No. No, absolutely not.
Are we here to leverage anybody?
No.
Or hang anything over their head?
No.
To guilt people into doing anything, or to manipulate, control, to browbeat? No.
No.
No. That's not what the scripture's about.
Right.
That's what man-made religion is about. And that is, you just take that right there. And you can really, you just deal with the individual, let alone, you know, organized religion. Deal with the individual. You start asking those questions, you figure out if that person's real or not. Are they trying to manipulate me? Are they trying to control me?
Mm-hmm.
Are they trying to guilt me? There's a lot of false professions out of legitimate churches that are done just that way. Every Sunday for years, ABC 1, 2, 3, repeat after me, you're saved. That's wrong. That is wrong. That doesn't save anybody. That's getting numbers, a notch in your belt.
Right.
And we're not about that. We're about proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ, the sinful condition of mankind, the need to repent before an almighty God and acknowledge him and confess with, you know, the Bible says, confess with thy mouth and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead. I mean, we're just offering Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Take it or leave it.
And for their good and God's glory.
Yeah, for their good and God's glory. Amen. Yeah. You know, I mean... Is there really, be careful when I say this, I hope you understand what I mean. Is there really anything in it for me?
No.
In a sense, yes. There are rewards and so on. So my motivation to see somebody saved is all about them and not about me. It's all about him and not about me.
Right.
I don't want to guilt somebody into getting saved or to joining a church.
That won't work.
or manipulating people into doing something. And when you start looking at a lot of these, all these false doctrines that we've covered, and any of the world's false religions, it's all about that. It's a list of do's and don'ts, and yeah, Charles.
So you'd say the other ones are more for them and what they want, but you're saying that that's more of like a servant attitude, how you do it.
It's absolutely about servitude. It's all about servitude.
The answer to that would be that all other religions are based on works. It's what do I have to do to help my cause?
Yeah.
And a true Christian, it's already been done. It's all fulfilled in Christ.
Amen.
But every other religion except true Christianity through Jesus Christ is all based on what do I have to do?
Mm-hmm.
It's already been done as far as I'm concerned. I'm already born again. I'm heading to heaven. I'm a child of God. I'm equal and joint heir with Jesus Christ. I'm not trying to increase my status any longer. I'm born again, right? Whereas every other religion, Jehovah's Witness, Mormon, all these, Catholic, they have to do certain things so that they're accepted.
Right.
And that they please their God in the hopes that
right.
they'll be saved.
Yeah.
There is no surety. Look, take Islam. There is no surety to their impersonal God, Allah. They're hoping that somehow, some way, they'll do enough
right.
that at the end of the day, he won't arbitrarily toss them into hell. And so true Christianity is the only one that's not working for something.
Yeah.
The work's been done in Christ. To everybody else, they're working because it depends on them.
True Christianity is the only religion that, I don't even like toss around the word religion, but true Christianity is the only religion that it's about what God did to get to you.
Yeah.
Every other religion is about what you can do to get to God.
That's good. That's good, brother.
Yeah.
And when you come to that point, and you just accept that, there is nothing you can do to get to God.
Right.
Except believe on Jesus Christ.
And what he did.
And what he did. The finished work of Calvary. That's it. And that's repentance right there. I deserve to go to hell.
Yeah.
But by the grace of God, I am redeemed.
Wow.
Yeah, brother.
I've talked to people before that, you know, just really skeptical of any religion, whatever.
Right.
And it's like, you're just trying to talk to me because you're trying to get me in your church or whatever and all that. And like, well, if you're all in our church, like, the most we're going to get out of you is, like, if you feel like mowing our grass. Like, come to our church and use our facilities and use the electricity and enjoy the painted walls that somebody else just did. It's like, what are we going to get out of you?
That's
just so for us, it's for you.
That brings up a good question. Has anyone in this church ever been told that you have to do something to be here?
No.
So that's not what we want you to serve from the heart voluntarily because you want to please and honor God with your members and with your substance.
Amen.
Not so you can serve the church, right? So you can serve God. You got really tickled with that. That's good, brother.
I need to mow the grass.
By the way, if you want to mow the grass, let me know.
Amen.
There's lots to know here.
You're free to come and go as you please. In a sense. I mean, we're
not lording over you. You have a Lord. If you're born again, you have a Lord. It's Jesus Christ. And you know what? He's a gracious, loving, and kind Lord. And he not only did he display his mercy on me by pardoning me from receiving all that I was due in hell. He went so far beyond that and demonstrated his grace to me in all that he has prepared for me in glory. And being a part of his ministry here on earth, in all that he's done in my life in spite of my foolishness, God has blessed us tremendously. We get to be partakers. We look at our physical situations and circumstances and think, man, I'm really blessed. I got a nice car, a nice house. Man, I got to go on a men's camp out thing, and oh, I'm really blessed. Yeah, those are blessings. That's great. We got so much more than that. Listen, Sister Jessica, her testimony this morning. Is God gracious?
Amen.
And you know what? When he doesn't just bless you, he blesses all of us through you. Amen. Your testimony this morning is a huge blessing for everyone in this room. We all got to be partakers of it. Amen. That's what we're taking. That's what we want to present to people. That's all we're trying to offer. We're just trying to offer them Jesus Christ and the love of God. We've got to dismiss. Brother Kyle, would you dismiss us on prayer?
Thank you for today. Thank you for our time here together. I really appreciate that. Helps to grow together in Christ, Lord, and together among help our church, Lord, just to recognize the importance of reaching out soul winning, Lord. And like Brother John said, we're not going to get more saved. We're not going to, reach the top tier of Christianity or anything by serving you, Lord. We serve because we love you. Helps us to love you more today and be appreciative of what you've done for us. It's so easy to be unappreciative, especially the things that have gone by. Many of us have been saved for years and years, and of course, help us to remember that, keep it fresh, Lord, just what you've done for us, and help us to be thankful. It's just, it's natural and easy for us to become unthankful and to focus on negative and gripe and complain. Help us to be thankful for you, Lord, thankful for each other, thank you for our church family, and pray just watch over us, Lord, as we continue to sing songs to you, Lord, and be able to hear your word, and pray just bless the hearers and bless the preacher in Jesus' name.
You have been listening to an audio message from McGregor Road Baptist Church. We are located on the southeast side of Indianapolis, Indiana. To learn more about our church, visit www.actonschurch.com. You can also call us at 317-862-3414. Thank you for listening, and may God richly bless you as you seek to grow in the Lord.